redicecreations.com. That's where you can go to hear more radio on many of the topics that we cover. Denise Barcelo is back on the program today. She is a birth doula and independent childbirth educator specializing in the prevention and healing of birth trauma. She is an international speaker, TV and radio show host, and founder of the forthcoming Birth of a New Earth Preparatory School for Conscious Procreation. Denise has been an independent childbirth educator for the past 7 years, offering educational seminars and teacher trainings. Today, she is going to discuss the importance of having a conscious conception. She talks about how we can influence what being enters the womb. Today, with the abundance of accidental conceptions, more sinister beings are possessing wombs and being born. She also talks about how induced labor interferes with the natural course of the soul entering the body. Therefore, a woman can give birth to a body without the soul fully embodied into it. Later, Denise discusses the soullessness of science and soft kill depopulation. Stay with us for more. Welcome back to Red Ice Radio. How are you today?
I'm doing so well. I'm glad to be back. Thank you, Henrik.
Really good to talk to you. It's a heat wave in New York. I guess you're enjoying that at the moment then, right?
I'm actually finding it very unpleasant. I'm not a big fan of the heat, and I was, you know, thinking about all the people down south on the East Coast that have lost their power and don't have even the ability to use a fan during this heat wave. This kind of drives everybody to want to be outside and to sleep outside, and inevitably it'll get us back to living the way we should, you know. But it's a scary thought to be in a house when it's 108 degrees and the walls are blocking every breeze, you know. It's crazy.
Well, that's pretty interesting, actually, getting people to walk outside a little bit more. Take off your shoes and enjoy the natural landscape. Get earthed or grounded, as it's called, earthing, you know.
Yeah, and sleep outside. Yeah, exactly.
If you can do it, if you have the ability, why not? I think it's really healthy and refreshing to get out of the box for a little bit, right?
Indeed.
So, obviously, a lot of healthy debate, by the way, after our last show that we did, a lot of new ideas that you presented on the show, and some emotions involved, as it should be, in the consequent aftermath of that, by the way. But anything you want to say or comment about in response to the last show that we did?
Well, I'd be sure interested to know what the response was. I got a couple of emails from people who were very supportive and wanting to learn more about this information. So I didn't get any information in terms of people that had an issue with what I was saying. So that's interesting for me. I know it's really intense to understand what's going on during hospital birth and to realize how much we have been damaged and to realize it's purposeful and intentional that they're trying to hurt us. That's a lot for people to process. So I think the information is a little overwhelming
the first time
you hear it, mm-hmm. But it's so important to talk about it, because if we don't understand what they're doing and why they're doing it, then we're going to go marching into these hospitals, you see, and give birth to our babies in these, really, they're satanic-infested institutions, and we have to be aware of that. Did you get any negative feedback?
Well, there was some heated discussions on our YouTube channel after we put the show up there as well. I guess that's also because of the fact that the comment section is easily available there, and I did get a little bit of an email from it. Not bad or anything like that. It's just that there's a little bit of a, you know, disagreement, I guess, in some of the approach, and some people might think or consider that it's a little bit extreme, while others, I guess, think that in terms of what the hospital did for them, that actually was beneficial, because otherwise they might not have survived it. And of course there are going to be cases like that as well, Janice. I mean, there's this kind of hit and miss in this case, right? But there's some fundamental disagreements that you have with the overall approach of how hospitals deal with this.
Well, the interesting thing is that people will claim that the hospitals save their lives, when in reality the hospitals are causing the complications that are leading to near death for the women and their children. So I know it turns out that the people say, oh, the hospital saved my life, but really the hospital caused your problem in the first place. And this is what we have to understand. People who are giving birth at home, who are trying to give birth at home, or who are successfully giving birth at home, the ones who succeed have very beautiful, love-filled birth experiences. The ones who don't succeed in giving birth at home usually have memories in their bodies of their own birth trauma from being born in hospitals. And those memories actually surface when they give birth, and they can actually get recreated during the birth of our children. And so it requires serious preparation to give birth at home. I really don't recommend you try it unless you have examined your birth, you know, your own birth, and have tried to clear the memories out of your nervous system so that you can succeed in giving birth the way that nature intended. And nature intends for it to be loving, for it to be gentle. We don't see other species, you know, in extreme pain and having all kinds of trauma when they give birth, unless they're in captivity. You know, in nature, when you watch your cat give birth, for example, I mean, it happens with great ease.
Yeah.
Their mothering capacities happen instinctually, where our species, I mean, we're having trouble feeding our children, breastfeeding our children, because of the damage that's happened to us, because of hospital birth, because of technological interference with the natural order of creation. You see, it's altering our species. It's altering our capacity to give birth and to properly nurture our children. There's no question about that. And right now we have a situation where, you know, 1 in 3 women is having a C-section. That is a huge number of babies that are being born unnaturally, that are being forced out of the womb, that are being denied the natural hormones of birth that would create proper bonding between them and their mothers. You see, and when the mothers are denied the proper hormones of birth because they've been injected with artificial hormones or because mm-hmm. they've been cut into, then they can't love their babies, and then they can't produce the natural milk. Then they suffer from postpartum depression. Yeah, if they can't bond with their babies, their body thinks the baby is dead. Hmm. And that's what postpartum depression is. It's the neurobiology of grief
wow.
that activates instead of the neurobiology of love.
Oh,
and
this is totally
technologically caused.
Now, I wanted to get another theory by as well, because I heard, forget his name now. He talked a bit more of this from an anthropological perspective, I guess, that also something happened with the human species X amounts of years ago. I think he was actually talking about it in the millions, possibly hundreds or thousands of years or so, that the human species went through a transformation in terms of the size of the brain, Janice, and therefore also these days the humans are born, well, we have a giant brain compared to some of the other animals, and hence there was an increase in the size. Now, how this came about, what actually happened, this is a huge debate, of course, and many people have different theories about that, everything from actually outside intervention to spontaneous mutation on the planet, you know, a huge step forward, evolution in a quick little time span, etc. Is that anything you have looked into, and what would be your response to that, the fact that if we went through such a dramatic change very, very quickly, that indeed would change the birthing procedure as well? What's your take on that?
I do believe that we are genetically modified. I don't believe that babies' heads are too big to fit through their mother's pelvis, unless the mother has been eating huge amounts of genetically modified food or has mutated herself to such an extent that her baby is also a mutation and the baby's head is too big to get through the birth canal. I just don't think that's typical. I don't think that's normal. Nature does not create babies' heads too big for their mother's pelvis. The truth is, women need to move around when they're giving birth. They need to squat. They need to get on all fours. They need to spiral their bodies. Sometimes they need to lift a leg up, you know, and put it on the bed or to help their pelvis expand. But what we're seeing is women are laying down and their pelvis is narrowing. And so they can't give birth in that position very easily. And they're being cut. They're being given episiotomies. But I would like to say also that I do believe our species has been genetically modified. I do believe that we've been spliced with another species at some point, and I think this is actually the origins of C-sections. You know, there's stories about an alien race, the Anunnaki, who mutated our genes by splicing their genes into ours,
mm-hmm.
or by inserting, let's say, a mixture of us and them into the womb of an Anunnaki woman who could not give birth to this mutation. You see, this mutated species, so they had to cut open her body in order to get the babies out.
And here's, I think we touched upon this a little bit last time as well. Here's, you get the concept of the Caesarean section, right? Caesar, this is about the gods or the powerful, the elite, if you will, of the human species that were born this way. And maybe that name even goes back and it's there for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that. But I do think that we are an altered race. It's clear for anybody that's paying attention that we are not behaving properly. You know, we are the only species that will destroy its host environment. We're not behaving the way that God originally intended for us to be. And so something has altered us. And there's a huge amount of techniques that they're using right now to keep the genetic alteration in place, to prevent us from actually reverting back to our original blueprint. And I want to recommend, if people are interested, there's a body of work called the Template Ceremonies. If you go to thetemplateorg.com, there are ceremonies that actually help you reconnect the circuitry of your body to the original blueprint, you know, the way that we were originally intended to be prior to genetic modification.
Now, Janice, sorry to interrupt, but it's a very interesting point. I want to ask you a little bit more about this detail. Is there any possibility that we have also difficulty connecting only and solely with our natural Earth side, if we can put it that way, then? Because if we do have alien progenitors, those who messed with us, obviously we're going to have that part in us as well. So it's going to be maybe very difficult to completely exclude that part if that's indeed what we are meant to do. Maybe we can learn to live with it or keep it under control. But I think definitely that some human beings have come to identify only maybe with that side of themselves and hence gone forward in the world and done some pretty nasty things. I don't know. What do you think, Janice?
See, the way that they can get us behaving from our reptilian parts is to traumatize us. Because when you can keep the reptilian brain in a constant state of agitation or hypervigilance to threat, you see the other parts of our brain, the parts of our brain that would make us more gentle and kind and loving and more connected to source intelligence, those parts of the brain can't function properly when the reptilian brain is overstimulated. And the world that we're in right now and what we're being exposed to is keeping the reptilian brain in a constant state of agitation. So even if you look at just the sound of the natural, of the technological world, if you think about the weed whackers and the lawn mowers and the generators and the central air conditioning units and the trains and the planes and the trucks that go roaring by and the Wi-Fi towers and all of these frequencies and sounds are completely keeping our nervous system, our reptilian brain, in hypervigilant mode, as if we are constantly under attack. You see, so when that is happening, the part of our brain, the higher part, the cortex that would control violent behavior, that would analyze the situation and determine what to do, you know, that part of our brain isn't functioning properly. And so people are behaving from their reptilian brain. People are destroying things. People are hurting each other. People can't access human love because their limbic system isn't functioning properly.
Our
brain damaged. There's no question about that, and that is because of the overwhelming amount of trauma that we've been exposed to during our conception, through our gestation, and during our technological birth. And then we're plopped into this is, to me, the technological world is satanic based. Okay, it's like we have overlaid this fake reality over what is real, and whatever these dark ones create, all of this whole technological world, hurts us, and it hurts our environment. And when you get down to the bottom of it, when you know that the people that are involved in this are also practicing Satanists, you see, oh, well, they really enjoy destroying what God has created, because they're always in competition with God. They're always trying to prove themselves as powerful as the real creator, except everything that they create gets destroyed. We have to focus an unbelievable amount of attention even to keep our home going, to keep our appliances going. You know, all of our attention has to go on that, because it all, without our attention, it all falls away. But God's world, right, it doesn't. God's world totally regenerates itself, constantly replenishes itself. We don't have to put our attention on that. It requires very little of our attention.
Yeah, well, just think about that. I mean, I think it's also partially because the things we create are not alive, if you will. They're not connected to the earth in the same way. We create them dead. Now, how we would make them alive, that's an interesting idea how to do that. But take a house, for example. A tree out there is connected with the roots to the ground. It replenishes itself, even if it gets a little brush of the bark, that can be replenished pretty easily. But a house that we may have made from that tree with the planks and the wood and everything else is effectively dead. And at that point, it begins to decompose. And then we have to keep up with the maintenance of preventing it, making it a slow death, if you know what I mean, Janice, without...
Well, that's exactly right. We've taken living things and turned them into dead things. And we think ourselves very clever for having done that. But that is the mark of a mutated species, you see, that would take a beautiful, magnificent tree and cut it down and just bludgeon it, murder it, so that we could turn it into a wall.
But we had to. This is interesting as well, right? At a certain point, depending on, of course, where we are in the world because of climate, because of potential changes that happened in the past where we had to protect ourselves to be able to survive in some way. People speculate there was a huge catastrophe, hence you have movements of populations and the climate changed dramatically, ice ages and everything else. So it was a necessary evil, perhaps, if I can put it that way.
You know, we don't see other species needing to house themselves in other structures. That's not something we need to do. Right now we need to do it because we no longer even have the capacity to self-adjust our body temperature, which is innate. It's an innate capability for our species. If we weren't surrounded by these walls all the time, our body temperature would adjust to where we were, you see, into what was going on around us. No other species needs these buildings. We don't need them either.
Well, what about the birds or even badgers or foxes? They go into their own little hiding. Bears go through the winter and hide in a little their house, right?
Right. Well, birds will create a nest, to lay their eggs, but they don't build structures around themselves. No other species does that. I mean, you said foxes will go into their den, or they always, whatever they're creating as what they call shelter or protection for their babies, they're creating that from the natural environment. They're not using plastics, for example.
That's true, of course.
Or aluminum. Yeah. They just take a few branches from a tree or something like that and build a little bit of shelter for themselves, like the Hawaiians did. The Hawaiians had something called hales, right, that they built from hollow leaves and all these other trees that are around them. But they never used artificial... They never went in and started doing chemistry, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
to try to create all these alternative things that we're using that are actually harmful to our species. So I don't think, and to our planet, I don't think houses are necessary. If people read the Anastasia books, which I highly recommend, this woman lives in the Siberian forest. She doesn't get cold. The people that observe her, she never even shivers. I mean, she jumps in the water to cleanse herself, but she doesn't get cold. She can adjust her body temperature. She doesn't have a house. She doesn't have any material objects whatsoever. And she is what I would consider a pristine human being. She has all of her capacities intact, capacities that we've lost because of our disconnection from the natural order of things. And we are, other species are also being affected by this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's important that, I think it'll be a slow transition, but I do think at some point our species will realize the futility of the technological path It really is futile. It doesn't do anything for us. It requires so much of our energy to stay in this kind of a reality. And we're all suffering. We're all in pain because of what we're exposed to constantly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Our children are sick. Our animals are dying. Our pets.
There was an idea as well I wanted to go back to and ask you about. There's a few examples of this. A father builds a beautiful sandcastle, and the child basically asks, you know, when can we destroy it now? You know, when it's done. And uh-huh. Someone brought up another example of a child, I guess out of the blue, just torching a cat or something like that. And people obviously question where this comes from. And it would perhaps make more sense if we put it into the context of the fact that we've been altered or changed in one way. But what's so interesting or disturbing, even if you will, is that it seems to be very easy in the day and age we're in to connect with this other side and let that kind of fully bloom out. It seems like the world have been shaped that way, as you argued, so that side will be enabled or nurtured, the other dark side of us, if you will.
You know, there's a couple of things that are coming into my mind right now. One is that it takes an enormous amount of abuse, neglect, and violence against a child to turn that child into a vicious person that will hurt other living beings. There was something else that I wanted to say that just left my mind. I'm so sorry.
No problem. It'll come back. Yeah.
I don't think it's natural for children to be that way. I think children are abused. I think children are neglected. The other thing that I was going to say is that because of the way that we are conceiving babies, okay, because a lot of babies right now are being conceived. For example, two young people are going into a hotel to have sex, two teenagers, because they can't do it in their houses, and because they're being encouraged by everybody in this culture to have sex. Have sex, have sex, have sex. Here's the condoms, go have sex. So they go to this sleazy hotel to have sex, and they end up conceiving a baby. What kind of entity do you think is going to be in that mother's body when she has conceived in this place that are filled with evil energies all around, very dark, seedy energies in a sleazy hotel, and the way that she's conceived is totally without consciousness, totally lust-based. Sometimes two people that are in a hotel are actually married people who are going to cheat on their partners to have sex with this person, and so there's this energy of shame and guilt and there's a lot of darkness happening during the conception of children. And so what I'm thinking is that there are entities that can get in when we conceive children like that. It's not like we're consciously saying, this is the kind of child I want to bring forth. This is the kind of environment I have provided for them to live in. This is my beautiful, loving partner who's going to be a magnificent father or mother or whatever. It's not happening that way at all. People are just getting off on each other, basically, using each other for a physically satisfying experience. So what do you think is going to come in with that kind of energy during conception? It's a very vulgar, very dark energy. And I would venture to say that 85% of the babies that are conceived on our planet are not really wanted.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
accidents.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the culture then that we're in, because this has been enabled partially because of that. We have TV series, movies, music videos, magazines, everything else, the media landscape out there that are indeed promoting promiscuity in different ways. Like sexuality is a commodity, and it's turned away from things spiritual, I think, and into more of a worship of the body and everything related to that. There's an extension to this I want to ask you about later, about where this, if this is continuing, where that might go with modifications of the body, because everything is about just creating a physical attractiveness. But what can we say about our culture about this and where the ideas come from? Because aren't, after all, the kids just adjusting to what they believe is normal? They're watching the culture, they're watching the media out there, And realizes, oh, okay, well, that's what you have to do to be liked or popular or you know, get the points, get the score out there, right?
Yeah, let's talk about what's going on in high schools. But I first want to say that the dark forces are always trying to get us to behave from base carnal impulses. And so you see that pornography is everywhere in our culture. You see when young people are watching television or MTV or even looking at billboards, there's often soft porn in these images. So they're always being encouraged to behave from base carnal impulses. And the reason for this is because when children are conceived at that fleshy, indulgent level only, without any participation by the higher planes of existence, okay, those children are going to have several planes of their being absent, missing. They're not going to be able to communicate with the divine mind, you see, because they've been conceived only at the physical level. They've been conceived at a very base, fleshy level. And so here we have the majority of the human population right now that's been conceived that way. Their parents came together not because they wanted to bring forth life, but because they wanted to get off on each other, or they wanted to have a pleasing physical experience, right? And in comes a baby. But when you see what creation wants, what the Creator is calling us to do is to, first of all, consider that you want to have a child. Make a space for your child to come in. You want to create a space of love for your child to come in. You want to be in a loving relationship. And then, if you're really doing it in the highest order, you want to bring your bodies together with the thought in your mind of bringing forth life. And not just any life. You know, you just don't want to reproduce yourself with all of your trauma and all of your wounds and all of your pain. Okay, what you want to... Ideally, what we would want to do is to bring forth a child that will contribute to the fulfillment of the divine dream, you know, that will contribute to giving birth to a planet filled with loving beings, right? That everybody is surrounded by love, that the forces of light have won the battle, and the forces of darkness can no longer be here. You see, we want to bring forth children consciously, expressly laying out the kind of being that we're willing to bring through us. Not just pulling any entity out of the universe, you know, saying, okay, it's okay if you come through me, even if you're a demon and you're going to be hurting animals.
Is that what's happening, do you think?
That is what's happening.
Are different entities out there jumping on the opportunity?
That is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of our problem. And it's happening because our young people are being conditioned, you see, to have sex in these very vulgar ways. And even adults are doing it. The adults are in the classrooms, in the high school classrooms. Planned Parenthood's in there handing out the condoms. Here, you know, we don't want you to get a disease, and we certainly don't want you to get pregnant. We certainly don't want you to bring forth life. Okay, we want you to use your sexual energy in a very disrespectful way. Here's a condom. The minute you put on your condom, you're going to be creating a separation from your partner. You're absolutely saying, I am afraid to have a baby. I am afraid to get a disease. So I'm having sex in fear. Okay, so I'll put on my condom. I'll stick my penis in a vagina. I'll have a release. And then my life-creating potential, my sacred, potent, absolutely magnificent life-creating potential gets spit out into this piece of rubber, and I'm just going to toss it in the toilet bowl or in the trash. If you want to say, can I curse? If you want to say fuck you to God, okay, that is the ultimate way to do it. To just spew out your life-creating potential in such a vulgar way and then throw it out in the trash. It's very, very harsh what we're doing. And, of course, people will be all over my stuff because I'm saying this. But here the adults are handing the kids the condoms. Right? Planned Parenthood's doing it. Here's the condoms. And that's with one hand. With the other hand, they're doing how many abortions?
Mm-hmm.
How much money are they making off of the murder of innocent babies who are only being brought forth because these teenagers are having sex in such a vulgar way, or because adults are doing it.
Right.
And
right.
I want to point out that the aborted human fetuses, okay, are ending up in vaccines,
Yes.
All right? There's aborted human fetal tissue and vaccine. Mm-hmm. They're ending up in stamina-boosting pills in Asia. People are ingesting powdered, aborted human fetal tissue.
There was a story about PepsiCo as well, using something.
Yes. Yes, they're doing flavor-enhancing research on aborted human fetal cells. If you want to talk about science is satanic-based, there's no question, you know, science has brought forth more evil, has backed more evil, genetically modified foods, vaccines, nuclear radiation, you know, mercury in our dental fillings, mercury in our light bulbs, fluoride in our drinking water. Here, use the Roundup on your lawn so that all the men in our society can become infertile. Keep pumping that stuff on your lawn, folks. Okay, and the science will tell you it's safe. Go ahead and use it. It's being sold everywhere.
GMO, same thing there. Yep.
Well, who's creating Roundup? Monsanto. Okay, who created Agent Orange? Monsanto. Who is the producer of genetically modified seeds and foods? Monsanto. Monsanto is the most evil corporation probably that has ever existed.
I wouldn't argue with that.
And by the way, Pfizer, who creates vaccines, owns Monsanto. So do you think that they're tied together?
Vaccines, I believe they are, yeah.
Modified foods, vaccines that are pumping the DNA of dead babies, of murdered babies, they're pumping that DNA into innocent children who are being born through vaccines. If you want to scramble the DNA of human beings, go ahead and inject other people's DNA into them. Go ahead and serve them genetically modified foods. Go ahead and fluoridate their water and expose them to nuclear radiation.
Yeah.
Hey.
Sorry, Janice, I wanted to. Is this the soft kill approach? We know that there is, or we speculate. We think that we know. About the depopulation agenda, the program that's running, and many people are running around looking for like the big event that's going to do it. But the fact is that it seems like the program is already running. It's been going on for years now, but it's a slow impact one. This is going to take a little time, if you know what I mean. They're long term planners, right? This is how they do it.
Yes, they're long-term planners, and you know what? When they can make everybody sick and infertile, that's going to feed their big pharmacological machine. You see, that's going to feed the whole medical industry, the whole diseased medical industry. So it'll keep money pumping into that industry for however long these people live in their diseased, you know, bodies, and then they'll die. And ultimately, if you can create infertility through the use of things like Roundup, through the vaccines, because the vaccines are also creating infertility, genetically modified foods, three generations down, those kids are going to be infertile. Okay, so if you can create infertility, yes, you're going to be able to succeed in your depopulation agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, which is to keep more human beings from living on this planet. And of course you can add to that, you know, the chemtrails that people are breathing in, heavy metals every single day of their lives. Their children are breathing them in. They're being injected with heavy metals through the vaccines. Their babies are being injected. All right, they're injecting these vaccines into pregnant women so that before the baby's even born, it's being exposed to these heavy metals.
This is their wet dream control. The very fundamental aspect of life is in their hands now, and again, that also develops a dependency upon them and upon their science for us to even continue this, I guess we can call it experiment instead of experience at this stage then.
It is amazing to me that people require scientific proof about things and they don't see how evil science is. They're always looking for scientific proof instead of, you know, we need scientific proof to determine whether it's bad for a baby to be in a womb where it's not wanted. Come on, folks. What do you think is going to happen if your baby's in a womb where it's not wanted, where it's experiencing all the negative emotions?
Well, the problem there, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I definitely think there is a, well, I'm not a Luddite, personally. I say that. I do believe there are some aspects here that are interesting, worth following up on. Again, we do have a big brain, I think, for a reason. We can use it, and I think we can do good with that as well. But having said that, I think one of the main issues and problems, if you will, as well, Janice, with science, with technology and everything else, is that they've completely taken out the concept of a soul, a spirit of intention, awareness, consciousness being a factor in all this. Their approach in that sense of taking something out of reality, putting it into a tube or a laboratory condition to try to study it or see what it is, that whole idea is just completely devoid of any rationality, in my view. You can't take something out of its natural environment and then expect to see how it actually works or ticks, because it's, you know, completely dependent and affected by the environment which is in. And also then adding on top of that the whole aspect of the soul and spirituality. Do you think that there could be a bridging aspect where more of that is brought in and you can begin to humanize this field in some way, or are you just, nope, throw it all out? Where are you on that stage?
Personally, I think it needs to be thrown out. When a human being is connected to its full potential, it's not going to need somebody outside of itself to give answers for what's true and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, science will tell you right now that when you are carrying twins, for example, it's much better for the babies if you give birth to them at 37 or 38 weeks. I'm not saying this is true. This is what science is saying, that babies should be born at 37 or 38 weeks. And so if they haven't been born yet, we're going to have to do an induction. And right now, one out of three babies is also being induced. Being induced means the babies are being forced to come before they are ready. Okay, babies are the people that signal the mother's body that they're ready, and then the mother starts producing the hormones of birth.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, but when that imprint is stolen from the baby, okay, that baby is going to have a belief system that says, something outside of me is controlling my destiny. I have no control over my life. And you know what? That something that's controlling me is not loving. Okay, so these scientists who are saying that we should force these babies to come think that it's really good if you can give birth to the baby's body, which is what's happening. Mm-hmm. Women are giving birth to the infant's body, but a huge part of their soul has just left.
Interesting.
Because of the incredible amount of abuse and trauma and pain and violence that's being inflicted on these babies.
And maybe
before
they're not
they
yet
even
there.
Get out of the womb. What did you say? I'm sorry.
Maybe they're not even fully there yet. Then, if it's a premature, not a premature birth, as I say, they're taken out prematurely before being ready, as you said. But that would maybe mean also that, you know, the components from everything from the neural network. They're still in construction, if I can put it in that way, right? They're still building and being made, if you will. So,
yes.
If you take that part away too quickly, then you're not going to be ready, and maybe all the components that are going to be you will not be there yet. That's a very interesting idea.
Well, it's true. You know, who was it? Rudolf Steiner, I believe, said something about vaccines being used to make the body inhospitable to the soul.
Hmm.
Okay? Hmm. And this is exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to turn us into biological robots who will be in service to them. See, if we're free-thinking, if we're totally embodied souls, these entities would not even be able to exist in this dimension. They would be so out of here if we were fully embodied souls. They could absolutely not exist. We would have no tolerance for it. You know, but we have been imprinted with the belief system that they have power over us and that we have to comply with their demands. How many people are paying taxes to the United States government? Right? And what's the United States government doing? Totally wanting to take over every place in the world, killing everybody, poisoning everything, destroying lives, destroying the planet. That's what the United States government does. People are paying them to do it.
In cahoots with all the companies that are making money on it at the same time. So, yeah.
The U.S. military is pure evil. I mean, it's crazy. And we have parents who are supporting their children to become part of it. Go ahead, become a soldier. Go ahead. Go kill people. Go ahead. Go put, you know, all that poison on the ground and in the water. Go ahead. This is crazy. This is insane. And we're doing this because we are mutants, because we're only using one-fifth of our brain, because an incredible amount of our DNA is dormant. It has not activated. You know, there's a science right now of epigenetics, okay? Epigenetics says we have been told for years that our genes control who we are. Okay, now epigenetics comes in and says that's not true, because which genes activate depends on the environment that the person is in.
That's right.
Depends on what that person is exposed to. You might have, you know, a brilliant rocket scientist, okay, born in the Bronx, New York. Okay, but if this kid is brought into an environment that's filled with violence, that's filled with drugs, that's filled with trauma, that's filled with broken families, it's not likely that this kid is, that the gene that makes him a genius is going to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's epigenetics. Our genes don't determine our destiny. Our genes are a blueprint that would allow us to fully express ourselves, provided we were in the proper environment, provided that we were exposed to love instead of trauma from the get-go, from our conceptions. You know, I myself, I was conceived by two teenagers in the back seat of a car at a drive-in movie theater.
Wow.
Okay, so now it's clear. It's clear that these two people are not bringing their bodies together because they want to have a baby. Okay, they're bringing their bodies together for whatever reason teenagers do it. And it's not about love. And it's not about life. So in comes me, okay, into a womb where not only am I not seen for the first 6 to 8 weeks, right? Nobody even sees me, talks to me, welcomes me, or recognizes that I'm there. And then when they discover that I'm there, it's a horrible outcome. They're horrified that I'm there. They're thinking about abortion. They're thinking about killing me. And I know I'm not the only one. There's millions of us out there that have been in wombs where we were not seen. Once we were seen, it was a horrible thing, right? And then we're gestating in a neurochemical stoop of being not wanted. My mother was forced to marry my father and cried. She did not want to marry him. So the imprinting for relationship is incredibly painful, right? There is no information about love, about authentic human love, that's come from my parents. None whatsoever. Whatever I have within me is given from God in terms of authentic human love. But my beginning of being conceived that way, of being gestated in a womb where I'm not wanted, of being surrounded by parents that are fighting all the time, that don't love each other, that don't really want to get married. You have to understand how this influences the psyche of the child who's going to become an adult, who's first going to become a teenager. Okay, and it's probably going to attract relationships that are very similar to the wounded relationships of their parents. Okay, and they might even get married to a similar person. Okay, so they'll recreate the wounded relationship of their parents.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Do you think it would be fewer children being born in the world, or maybe then at this stage fewer people on the planet, if consciousness and intent was brought into the conception?
There would be many fewer people, and there would be a much higher quality of human being. Okay, there would be human beings who have their capacities intact. You see, when we create a loving partnership, authentic love, not because we're drawn to each other based on fleshy impulses, because
mm-hmm.
that's how most people are drawn to each other. They look at each other, they think the other one looks good, they don't know anything about the person, okay, but they come together because they're lustfully drawn together. But if we create love, authentic love, if we create a space of love to bring our children into, if we conceive our babies in that space of love, gestate and birth our babies in that space of love, where everything in that space is filled with love and is for them, you see, then those babies are going to come in with a different quality of humanity. This is called the birth of a new humanity. How we're doing it right now is really limiting who we are. We have several planes of our being that are not functional, on top of which we're existing in this reality where we've been genetically altered and where the genetic alteration is constantly reinforced through the GMOs, vaccines, all the stuff that I mentioned before.
The food, okay. The preservatives, you have the chemicals and all the, things that we use and, you know, make
okay,
up
you got
and
the,
everything
you
else.
Got, Yeah. You got the BPA in the plastic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an endocrine disruptor. I'm trying so hard to stop using plastic, and when I go to the grocery store, I am overwhelmed at all the stuff that is wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
So here I am with my, you know, my cotton paper bags and my cotton, my organic cotton produce bags and my grocery bags, and everything's in plastic. And all the stuff that's in plastic is toxic. It's poisonous.
Yeah.
So here our babies are born. Okay, we can't feed them with our breasts because we're so mutant ourselves. We don't even produce breast milk. So here we're going to shove a plastic nipple in their mouth that's filled with BPA. And then we're also going to shove a plastic binky, a pacifier, in their mouth so that they can suck on the BPA.
Yeah.
All day long.
That's
and
evil.
Then we're going to feed them.
Right there.
We're going to feed them infant formula. Okay, that's filled with genetically modified foods, that's going to mutate our children, and that's also filled with other toxic ingredients. What do you think is going to happen to our kids? Even giving birth to our children in hospitals, it's a nightmare, but even if we do it at home, okay, the first thing that our children are going to see are going to be walls, wallpaper, a bunch of artificial objects around them. You see, this is a very different imprint than if our children were born in the natural world.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And were imprinted with all the sights and sounds of the natural world, which would create a very different kind of human being. We are indoctrinating our children into the technological way of life.
It's and true, and even that is being altered and changed more and more into kind of a cold, sterile design. If you go back X amounts of hundreds of years, you could see, at least in the furniture that we have, and maybe the wallpaper, the art, etc., the lamps and the lampshades and the pots, what have you, everything, and even the china had floral patterns on it. It was at least a reflection of the fact that we should be in an environment which resonates of nature, if you know what I mean. But even that, I mean, many homes are different than this, but the new sterile kind of design that's coming in as well has no reflection of this whatsoever. So even that is gone now, Janice.
Whatsoever. You know, 200 years ago in Hawaii, the children were born. If they were born in a hale, right, they were still surrounded by the sights and sounds of the natural world.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, the children today are, all of us are altered because we've been introduced into this technological reality, which is not real. It's everything is artificial. Every single thing is artificial. And it's a burden to us. So, of course, it's going to alter us. It's going to alter our expression. And, of course, the dark forces are very pleased with themselves.
Sure.
They've taken us totally out of our natural setting and created us to be dependent on them for our existence. And they're all clapping. You know, we're even walking into hospitals to give birth, which just reveals how damaged our minds are. Could you imagine being born? The first thing that you see are people wearing masks and gowns. This is how people get the imprint of aliens.
Yeah, we talked about this last time. It's true.
And gowns, and you see all this bright lights all around you, and all these tools, equipment, you know, all this stuff is just totally violent, crazy, hurts babies. Babies need a warm environment. They don't need ice-cold environments. That's totally going to freak them out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So everything is altering our children. But it's not just because of the hospitals. It's because of how we're having sex. It's because of how we're treating our babies while they're in the womb. You know, science will convince you, right, that babies don't feel pain. All right, this is why you can go and have an abortion and you can rip your baby out limb from limb. Literally, they pull off babies' legs, arms, heads, piece by piece, and the babies aren't supposed to feel pain. Right? Or during a late-stage abortion, what they do is they inject a saline solution into the amniotic sac that surrounds the baby. So the baby gulps it, sucks in this solution, and its lungs are burning. And the outer layer of its skin is burning. And women give birth to a burnt baby, a baby that's been burned to death in the womb. And if you don't think this has spiritual consequences, you're incorrect. This is severe, severe what we're doing. An abortion would not exist if people would just get their sexual energy into alignment with love.
I definitely understand what you're saying. How about if there are other cases there as well, and while we're on the topic of intent and consciousness and love being part of the birthing process, there are cases, I mean, of young women, women being raped, etc., and getting pregnant and things like that. What's your take on that? I mean, are there cases where this should be allowed to be done, do you think? I mean,
you know, I don't want to create a moral judgment about it, because I myself had a baby that was deformed in the fifth month. I had been taking fertility pills, which are causing severe deformations in fetuses. And so I aborted my baby in the fifth month. Had I known that my baby was going to be burnt to death that way, I would have let my baby be born all of his deformities and died on his own, because there's severe spiritual ramifications to murdering this innocent child that way that I didn't understand then. You know, if a woman is raped, that's incredible violence. We don't know what kind of entity is going to be in her belly because of how she's conceived that baby. And then if you abort that child, there's more violence there, you see. So I'm not making it right or wrong.
Sure, yeah.
Whether they choose abortion. But I am saying that this is a dark, dark thing that's happening.
Right. Yeah.
All around.
Yeah.
You know, women have to do what they have to do. But if women understood what was really going on, what was going to happen to their babies, which is partially them, you know, they would likely try to keep their pants zippered, number one. Or number two, they might decide to give birth to that child and let that child die on its own. Or, you know, that's what I would have done. If I knew then what I know now, I would never have done that to my baby. I would never have taken the fertility drugs, you see? I would never have gone for artificial insemination. My husband, at the time, he was adopted. Okay, so he had a lot of adoption trauma that was not resolved. And the way that trauma manifested is he had a low sperm count because he had a lot of ambivalence about pregnancy and birth because of what happened to him. Okay, if he had had a birth trauma therapist that could help him work through his adoption trauma, his sperm count would have probably come right back up. Okay, but instead, we didn't have that kind of information at the time, so we went for fertility treatments. My husband was told to go into a cubicle and jack off, right, have an ejaculation into a cup, right? They take his sperm and they put it in this machine where they spun it, and then this weird guy, you know, wearing a white coat, this whole technological nightmare, injects my husband's sperm into me with a syringe. And it was the most painful experience of my life. I could hardly walk after he did this. And that is how my baby was conceived. After I had taken all these fertility drugs, right, this whole thing happened. And my baby suffered tremendously because of what we chose to do, because we were part of this reality. We did not have the information. You know, so I carry that grief with me, not only about the fact that my baby was deformed, but about what I did to my baby in having that abortion. And I'll tell you what, that experience influenced my ability to give birth later on. In a very negative way. So I've had a lot of birth trauma, which brings me to this conversation. Not just birth trauma, conception trauma, prenatal trauma, extreme trauma in the womb. Okay, all of these things influence the expression of my life and are influencing the expression of the lives of hundreds of millions of people who are walking on the planet today, the walking wounded. All of us are the walking wounded, you know, because of what's happened to us. So when I speak about this stuff, I am speaking from my heart. I am speaking from a direct, lifelong experience of the ramifications of what we're doing. And I have tremendous grief around it, you know? I'm not just trying to stimulate a lot of agitation in people. I'm trying to wake people up to understand, you know, what is going on, what has happened to us, and what we're doing to our children. Now, parents are directly responsible for what goes on with their children. Parents are actually separating their children from understanding God by enforcing religious dogma on them. Did we talk about the Judeo-Christian God on our last call?
We did a little bit, and that's also one of the things I do want to ask you about a little bit later, Janice. I think it would be a good opportunity to take a little break here between the segments. I want to get into also next a little bit more about the marketing of sexuality to to younglings and you know, sexual education, everything, what the, you know, some of the consequences of this is, etc. There's lots more to discuss, and also the going forward into the transhuman future of if we let the nightmare continue and unfold, there's some aspects that actually that's happening right now that I want to ask you about and what that might lead to. But let's give out your websites again, Janice, so people know where to go to read more about your work and to find out more. You're following the news stories pretty tightly on your blog, etc. So go ahead and give those out here.
Okay, my website is birthofanewearth.com, and my blog, excuse me, is birthofanewearth.blogspot.com. So my website has lots of great information, and it's much more tame than my blog. My blog has so much information about GMOs and vaccines and all of the incredible ways that they're trying to genetically modify our species, plus a lot of information about what's going on during prenatal life and during birth. So my blog is packed with articles that will provide information. And my website, birthofanewearth.com, there's lots of good videos there. There's lots of courses there. There's lots of good stuff there, too. So I encourage you to visit both.
Very good. Links are going to be up on redxcreations.com to Janice's websites and her blog, of course, as well. Stay with us, Janice. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be right back with more.
Thank you.
In the next hour with Janice, we'll begin discussing the future science of birth. Janice speaks about birthing the wounded. She explains the ramifications of an oversexed culture. And we explore the definitions of masculinity and femininity and examine three different societies who define both a bit differently. She talks about how in our society, men are discouraged from being sensitive. She also talks about the idea that says men are wired for sex only. We explore the flip side of how women are programmed to become sexual objects and what that creates. Janice discusses the cultural perception given in high school. The average age for a boy to first view pornography is at 11. Lastly, we talk about healthy sex versus destructive sex. We're living in a culture hypnotized by unhealthy ideas of sex, and it's creating social decay. To hear more of this or any of our previous programs, go to redeyescreations.com to sign up or log in. You can stream, download, or get our programs via RSS feed. We're commercial-free, and we are listener-supported, so thank you for considering subscribing and acquiring your membership. You'll, of course, get full access to all of our archives with some amazing programs of all kinds of different topics, a great opportunity to feed your mind and learn something new. Next on Red Eyes Radio, we have Daniel Pinchbeck, then our Olympic special with various guests. Bryce Sable joins us after this, and we have Birgitta Jung's daughter, Courtney Brown, Kevin Annette, John Irvin, Duncan Worley, Christy Wanson, Joseph Atwill with Fritzy, and many, many more coming on the program. But right now, we'll continue with the second hour with Janice Barcelo. Stay with us.